slurry of seeds. The trees have been violently stripped of their leaves. The seasonal pleasures are frankly quite minor. Ah, but who the heck cares? We're here at the diner. When did I turn into Slappy White? It's the diner for Friday, November 3rd, 2006. Welcome. Ah, it's toasty in here today. I love it. The compensations of the season, I guess. It's getting dark earlier now. This sun goes down around, about 3:30 or so. But when you walk into a room and it's warm, it reminds you of all the glories and joys to come. The cranberries, the plum pudding, the roasting turkeys, all the seasonal holiday delights that abruptly end and leave you shivering on the cold doorstep of January. But that's still some time to come. The diner is heated with fuel oil, I think, which is good. That's what my father sold when he was starting out in the business. Oil imparts a special warmth to a place when it burns. The electrical heat is soulless. It has no presence, no character whatsoever. Your hair frizzes out and your nose feels like it's been scoured with sandpaper. Nobody likes an electrically heated room. Everyone loves the radiator, the clank, the hiss, all the sounds that say warmth. But it's frankly, it's, I hate to complain, but it's getting a little too toasty here. And there's something special, though, in the smell of it, and I wonder how they did it. It's almost as though the fuel oil has been infused with hamburger. I mean, that's just, frankly, I suppose it's appropriate for a diner, but that... There's a grease fire. Yeah. A big one. A really big one. Wow, that fire is not going gently into that good night. What were they cooking back there? Anyway, napalm flapjacks? Ah, he appears to have gotten it under control, and it's out. Hey, your apron! Okay. All right, good. All right, all well, all done. Hi, folks, welcome to the diner, which is, frankly, a little chillier now, and also starting to fill with smoke. Oh, gee. I think I can hit the alarm with my shoe here. I've had a lot of practice at this. All right. Steady. Steady. There. Where was I? James Lilacs, check. At the diner, check. Ah, at the long boomerang pattern formica counter here at the diner out on Old Highway 23, about roughly 18 and a half minutes from wherever you happen to be at this very moment. Let us check the chalkboard and see what the daily special is today. Ooh, candy hash. I love candy hash. That's a seasonal delicacy around these parts. I don't mean candied hash. I'm not talking about taking, you know, actual hash of the corned beef variety and glazing it with confectioner's sugar. No, I mean candy hash. That's where everybody brings in all of the unconsumed treats from Halloween, of which everybody has buckets and bags. They get dumped into the wearing blender, and it's set on mince or slice or dice or whatever. And the result is a nice chopped-up mix of every single possible candy from Halloween, and it's served on a plate with a nice gravy. Most people skip the gravy. Nearly every single candy group is represented. The tart group, which have the citric acid, those can be Smarties, those can be Sweet Tarts. The Jawbreaker group, which is best exemplified, I think, by the Jolly Rancher. And if ever there was a lost opportunity there for some sort of mascot, it's Jolly Rancher. All my life I've been seeing Jolly Rancher candies, but I've never actually seen them personified in some sort of figure whose amenable demeanor would indicate that he works with ruminants. He herds cattle or something, and takes great pleasure in his job. Or he has some source of delight that is separate from his ranching career, but he is, in any case, a jolly rancher. And then there are the nougat groups. Those are the ones that are covered with some sort of chocolate. And then the pure chocolate ones, which, of course, you get around to eventually. Everybody wants to go for the nougat. Somewhere mixed in those is the one that just throws the spanner into the paradigm, and that's the Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, because it has saltiness and greasiness, but mostly saltiness, and then the sweetness of chocolate. It is the most beloved, I think, now, treat there is. If you took a survey, and I believe they did, they found that Reese's Peanut Butter Cups were the ones most preferred by children, precisely because of that yin and yang that it offers. Now you could say, I'm a traditionalist, like my Milky Ways. Don't even take no truck with those dark Milky Ways, frankly. And I would understand that, but I think that that is a vanished America, frankly. At some point, salsa became more important than ketchup, and the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup has taken over primacy from the Milky Way, say nothing of the Mars bar. But judging from what people have brought here today, I'm seeing the wrappers are strewn about on the floor, we have some interesting choices. Payday bars. I stopped giving payday bars a long time ago when kids, it was always, you'd, at the end of the night, you'd have a bunch of paydays because kids just don't reach for the paydays. I don't know why. They, too, have that salty aspect to them, like a Pearson salted nut roll with a major national ad campaign behind them. You'd think that would be enough, but it rarely is. What else? Zagnuts. Zagnuts. Not a lot of call for Zagnuts around. Zero bars. Well, that's interesting. It's very interesting, especially since they really haven't sold zero bars in 7 years. Somebody must have stocked up. Let's see, there's some chicken dinners. I haven't seen that bar since the 40s. A scotch loaf. That's another favorite from the Coolidge era, I think. Oh, Chico sticks. Chico sticks, the only candy that I believe is paprika-based. Some Walnettos. Ooh, some Snaps. I don't know about that. Snaps can go either way. I mean, literally, if they're cold and hard, they're awful. But if they're warm and tender, al dente, there's nothing like a good soft snap. Well, in any case, I'm going to ask for them all to be put into the blender and minced up to my specifications. A good plate of candy hash. And I think candy hash will be dancing here later tonight. I'm not sure. No, I'm serious. I don't know exactly why they did this, but there are some spotlights that have been put into the ceiling of the diner. They look to be temporary, but I don't know what they're there for. It looks like they're going to illuminate a sort of makeshift stage over there by the jukebox, the big jukebox at the end of the diner. Well, we'll see. There's no pole, so perhaps dancing will be at a minimum. It would be very hard to do lap dancing in a diner anyway, for two reasons. One, there's the booths. They're high and they're wooden, high-backed and wooden, and you can barely get yourself in between them, the seat and the table anyway, so asking a dancer to come in and do something in those confined environments, I think, would be difficult. She'd work for her money. And the other thing, of course, is that here at the counter, the stools spin all the way around, so it would be very difficult for them to get purchase, so to speak. So that's probably why nobody has put together a combination diner strip club. If ever you walk into a diner and all of the chairs are about 4 inches off the ground or something, I think then you'll know that somebody has correctly been able to synthesize the two in a Frankensteinian fashion. Yeah, I'm babbling, aren't I? I should probably find something on the jukebox new to play. Happy to do so. Let's see what they've loaded up. I'm going to punch this absolutely at random, knowing for sure, believe me, trust me here, that there will be nothing that is November-themed, because there are no November-themed songs. There's not even any Thanksgiving song. I mean, there's no Thanksgiving. Oh, some will come to mind. All right, I'm sure by the time I'm done here that five will spring to mind. Oh, tryptophan, oh, tryptophan. Okay, there's one. But there are no November songs. It's just one of those months that everybody hates and nobody even... I mean, the idea of giving November a song when it's done so little for us. Yeah. All right, let's try N11.
The sun will shine in the summer, and I'll be fine in the summer. But then I gotta have you to cuddle up to when winter comes. It's nice and warm in the summer, I'll be in form in the summer. But then I've gotta have you to cuddle up to when winter comes. All summer I'll be playing out on a tennis court. But in the winter, just like the groundhog, I'll turn into an indoor sport. I'll pull an oar in the summer and hug the shore in the summer. But then I gotta have you to cuddle up to when winter comes.
Noticed a little insert in the menu here, which explains the stage. I gather that it is the first annual stand-up comic impersonation event. And that's why they had the grease fire. That wasn't an accident at all. They were trying to recreate the smoky ambiance of an old nightclub. Interesting. Well, the first fellow is taking the stage now. I'm looking at the sign. Okay, he's going to be impersonating Slappy White. Well, we all know comedy is hard. Let's give him our undivided attention.
Thank you very much. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to act as your comedian for the next 10, 12, 15, or 18 minutes. But before I go into my routine, I'd like to tell you a story about this fella. He wanted to be a lion tamer. And he goes to this lion taming school. And when he gets there, he said, look at the muscles in that arm. I want to be a lion tamer. I can get in that cage, make that lion jump through that hoop. I'll run him around the cage. The man said, wait just a second. That's the way to train a lion. There's a gun, a whip, and a chair. Now, that's what you use in the cage with the lion. He said, well, give me the whip and let me go in there and whip him around a little bit. The man said, no, you don't go in first. This young lady's going to be a lion tamer, and she goes in ahead of you. And instead of her picking up the gun, the whip, and the chair, she walked right in the cage with the lion, nothing on but a mink coat. And the lion saw. And the lion comes charging toward her as fast as he could. And she snatched off this mink coat, and there she was standing there with nothing on. And the lion put on brakes, and he slid, and he rolled over, and he rolled back, and he got up on his hind legs, and he danced around. And she stuck out her hand like this, and the lion kissed her hand. And the trainer told the guy, I said, look at that, can you top that? He said, yeah, you get that lion out of there.
Okay, well, he's leaving the stage now. Yeah. What's next here? Let's check the program. Ah, Joel Jorgensen's tribute to Flip Wilson. So, you'd better steel yourself for a sassy assertion that one's self-serving conduct was indeed initiated and forced upon oneself by the devil. He's taking the stage now. You come to Sweden. You come to Sweden. You come to Sweden.
Can't wait till Sunday. I go to church every Sunday. I have a very strong religious background. I go to church. I go, like, I'm in different cities. I go to different churches. I went, last week I went to a beautiful little church uptown. Nice little, and they charge $1 to get in. Nice. You pay their $1, they give you a sandwich, something like that, and they have a little group there that plays. The group does a 40-minute set, then Rev comes on, does 20 minutes. And, Rev opened the service by passing the plate. Plate shot around the room, came back, nothing in it. Ref said, y'all, there's nothing in the plate. I said, I lost money coming down here. So I'm going to send the plate back out there again and give y'all a chance to clean this up. Plate shot around the room, came back, nothing again. Ref said, now, brothers and sisters, we can't make it like this. So now I'm sure that everybody here wants this church to progress. That and if this church is going to progress, first, it's got a call. This church has got a call. And the congregation yelled, let it crawl, Rev. Let it crawl. Rev said, and after this church has crawled, it's got to stand up and walk. And the members yelled, make it walk, Rev. Make it walk. Rev said, and after this church has walked, it's got to run. This church has got to run. And the members yelled, make it run, Rev. Make it run. Rev said, for this church to run, it's going to take money. And the members yelled, let it crawl, Rev. Let it crawl.
I gather he's the man to beat now. Well, I think it's time for a word from our sponsor.
I saw the best cottage cheese of my generation, conceived by Meadow Gold and dedicated to the proposition that all dairy products are not necessarily swinging equal. What is life, man, but a pineapple seeking to make the salad scene with Meadow Gold like Zen? You know? Are you hip to the protein, not the calories, in Meadow Gold land? Swing with it. Well, you dig? It takes a very progressive kind of dairy to make a cottage cheese that isn't square. It's a far-out cottage cheese for you to chew, with protein, not the calories for you. Yeah, Paul, and the reason that it tastes so Scooby-Doo is the people up at Meadow Gold like care.
I didn't know Meadow Gold cottage cheese went over big with the beets.
Oh, yeah, man, but it's better with pineapple.
M-Cron is home.
Brand new fiber, that's so sharp, it's very good for making carpets.
M-Cron is up.
Polyester fiber, that is bound to give your carpet status.
M-Cron is up.
Name that sounds a little silly, but in carpets it's a dilly.
M-Cron
glows and glimmers and gives, 'cause M-Cron lives. M-Cron is a product of American Inca.
Not for while you can, monkey boy.
You know, the song, Smile, was written by Charlie Chaplin. Well, probably not written. He hummed it to somebody who wrote it down. And it's performed here by the Jackie Gleason Orchestra. And of course, Jackie Gleason didn't conduct it. He wrote a check to somebody to arrange the tune. And then there's me, talking over it and ruining it for everybody. Sorry. Well, they're taking a break now from the impersonation contest. That last Flip Wilson impersonator had everybody's face fixed in a permanent rictus of mirth, so good was he. And so everyone's just sort of readjusting their faces to be able to accommodate with a neutral and fair and impartial fashion the next comedian, which involves sitting around thinking about things like E. coli and the Sudan and the rest of it. You don't want to go too far, though, because then you're bummed, and bummage is just hard on comedy. I suppose it would help if there was liquor around here, wouldn't it? I swear, and... you know, I did stand up once. And it was just miserable. It was one of the worst experiences of my life. Now, granted, I was in college. It was my first year, first month in the dorm, and there was a talent show. And I decided to do a stand-up routine. And I had all my material prepared. And I walked out on stage, and I was sort of doing the cliched lounge lizard thing before Bill Murray. That's right, he stole it from me. Get my lawyers on the case. It was already cliche by 1976, I'm sure, and I just threw it on stage with hair slicked back and a cigarette and the rest of it and went into what I presumed would be interpreted in the right ironic way, and that this isn't funny. But the funny thing is that I think it's funny because those old guys who weren't really funny, everybody thought they were funny, so on a meta level, this is just hilarious. But it was like I instantly sobered up the room. I could just feel it coming from there. This guy's trying to pass off meta-contextual analysis as humor. My buzz is gone. So I struggled through it as best as I could, bathed in flop sweat. If I'd been wearing absorbent incontinence undergarments like the pens, they would have swollen up until I looked like the Michelin Man. And I went back up to my dorm room, humiliated, and vowed never to do that again, and didn't. So I have great respect for those who actually have the fortitude to get up there in front of the big brick wall and make people laugh. There's a change in the program there on the chalkboard. The Lenny Bruce impersonator has been found dead in the bathroom, so they're bringing in somebody else, but he's not quite ready. So I guess we have some time to check the mailbag. And today's letter comes from Harley Baker of Coralville, Iowa. Oh, for heaven's sakes, just say you're from Iowa City. Nobody cares about Coralville. Oh, no, we're not Iowa Cityans. We're Coralvillians, which has a completely separate urban identity. Yeah, right. Dear Mr. Leakless, whatever became of the scary crash weapons bomb munitions program that was going on at the Bad Diner on the other side of the lake? As is so often the case, it was the occasion for great drama, but then it was never mentioned again. If I recall, everybody had to go downstairs into the bomb shelter, but that was the last we heard of it. Please keep us up to date. Signed, sincerely, Harley Baker. Well, I don't know. It's like, they don't tell me everything here. If there was indeed a bomb program being done by the Bad Diner at the other side of Lake Lilac, I assume it was either it's either going on right now or it was taken care of, if you know what I mean. And I don't know what I mean. I mean, it's possible that the diner has an elite corps of Delta chefs. Smear their face with various paints and paddle silently across the lake in the middle of the night and do what they do in order to keep us safe here. But, you know, it's not like they're going to tell us about it. Well, they might if you brought it up. I mean, if you ask them, you say, hey, in a nonchalant fashion, odd how we don't hear much about that bomb program. And then the chef would sort of wink and shrug knowingly. I'm trying to shrug knowingly right now. It's a hard thing to... It's all context. I mean, if I was to do that, I suppose I might get some information about it. But, again, all I'd get is a knowing shrug. And that is not admissible in a court of law as evidence, if you know what I'm saying. So as far as I know, everything's fine. Unless it's not. Yeah. Well, we'll certainly keep you posted. I mean, if there's a blinding flash of light... Well, then that's your problem, because it obviously is happening where you are, not me. But if there's a gigantic explosion, or there's the sirens, or we all have to go back downstairs into the basement, then you know something has happened. But, you know, the stuff that usually happens here at the diner is grease fires, and, you know, people passing out in the parking lot because of bad E. coli-tainted organic produce. The normal sort of things that people worry about, in other words, say, this is a slice of life here. It's not some bizarre fantasy. Anyway, the next person is setting up. He's got a piano, not a proper piano. It's actually an electronic keyboard, and he is Bob. And I can't make that out. It's L-E-R-H-E-R, and he's doing a salute to Tom, L-E-H-R-E-R. Whatever, it's stand-up, it's impersonator night. Let's give him our undivided attention.
First we got the bomb, and that was good, 'cause we love peace and motherhood. Then Russia got the bomb, but that's okay, 'cause the balance of power's maintained that way. Who's next? France got the bomb, but don't you grieve, 'cause they're on our side, I believe. China got the bomb, but have no fears, they can't wipe us out for at least 5 years. Who's next? Then Indonesia claimed that they were gonna get one any day. South Africa wants two, that's right, one for the black and one for the white. Who's next? Egypt's gonna get one too, just to use on you know who. So Israel's getting tense, wants one in self-defense. The Lord's our shepherd, says the psalm, but just in case, we better get a bomb. Who's next? A Luxembourg is next to go, and who knows, maybe Monaco. We'll try to stay serene and calm when Alabama gets the bomb. Who's next? Who's next? Who's next? Who's next?
Oh, people loved that reference to the 1960s segregation struggles. Alabama, they got the reference instantly, even though it's about 25, 30 years old. Oh, that's just great. I think we have a winner. I think... Hold on a second here. The gentleman who impersonated Slappy White apparently wants to go again. He's got some material that he's waving around here, and he thinks this will do it for him. Well, I don't know. It's only fair. Let's give him a shot. Ladies and gentlemen, the Sloppy White impersonator, Mr. What's his name? Wait a minute. He's motioning for Bob Lurr, the guy who just played the piano, to accompany him. This could be interesting.
Well, I talk a lot about the South, but everything is going to be all right if the white man and the black man would work hand in hand. They could make this whole world a promised land. You got George Washington. We've got Booker T. You got congressmen in Congress, and so have we. Einstein split the atom. No ifs, ands, or but. Look what Dr. Carver did with a little peanut. We will forget about slavery. You forget the Indian raids. We quit calling you old fays, and you quit calling us spades. Together, we'll wipe out poverty, hatred, and we'll conquer outer space. So why don't we just get together and let America win the race? Thank you.
It appears they're going to split the first place, with the first being shared between the Slappy White impersonator and the Tom Lehrer impersonator. Perhaps fusing into one comedic presence. Slappy Lehrer. Second place, we'll go to the Flip Wilson impersonator, and third place, we'll go to the corpse of the Lenny Bruce impersonator. Well, it's been a rather interesting evening here. Hey, maybe I should try again. Why not? Everyone's in a loose comedic mood. I'm among friends. Yeah, I'm going to do it. Hey, excuse me. One last entry. I'm impersonating... Well, you'll see, I think. So, how y'all doing tonight? A funny thing happened to me on the way to the diner. A man comes up to me all dressed in rags, and he said, "Pal, can you help me out? I haven't had a bite all day." So I gave him a USB thumb drive. Yeah, it's that those little things you put into the USB... port on your computer. They have bytes, kilobytes, megabytes actually now. I've got one with 2 gig. The storage price is coming way down. The point is that it's B-Y-T-E-S, and he was thinking B-I-T-E-S. That's sort of the cybernetic twist on it, in a postmodern reorganization of the comedic meme. Thank you. Thank you. Good night. Good night. Yep. I still got it. Well, thanks for dropping by, folks. That's The Diner for Friday, November 3rd, 2006. I'm James Lilacs, and I'll see you down the road. Sorry, friend. Competition's over. You want to do a salute to overplayed catchphrases? Well, there's only four people left in the diner. I'm not sure what kind of response you're going to get. All right, fine. Mic's yours. Knock yourself out. Nice white suit, though. Very. Goes with the hair.
Because I am a wild and crazy guy!